In the latest episode of our collective nightmare, we find ourselves once again trudging through the morass of human misery that seems to be our constant companion. In a world where logic has taken a permanent vacation, a Russian aerial strike in the eastern Ukrainian village of Yarova has left at least 24 dead and 19 wounded. The victims were ordinary civilians, because who else would you target when you're conducting what is laughably called warfare these days? They were simply collecting their pensions, a routine act turned into a grotesque spectacle of violence. President Zelensky, in what feels like an endless loop of justified outrage, described this atrocity as brutally savage. And why not, when bombs rain down on pensioners, it's hard to find words that capture the absurdity of calling this anything but terrorism. The footage from Yarova shows bodies strewn across the ground like discarded props in some macabre theater production. Elderly people whose only crime was being alive in the wrong place at the wrong time. The scene is almost too surreal to process. Remnants of a postal service van parked under trees for camouflage. Children's slides standing silent witness to humanity's unending capacity for cruelty. It's as if reality itself has decided to mock us with its bleak irony. Meanwhile, medics and police officers scramble amidst chaos, trying to salvage whatever remains of life and sanity. Mykola Puzik lost his wife Tishiana in this senseless attack, another name added to an ever-growing list of personal tragedies that collectively form our global nightmare. Ukraine's foreign minister calls for strong responses and further sanctions against Russia, as if piling more paper on top of smoldering ruins will somehow extinguish the flames. But here we are again expecting rational action from a world that's long since abandoned reason. The village of Yarova had about 2,800 souls before Russia's invasion. Now it's just another scar on Ukraine's battered landscape. Elsewhere in Ukraine, more lives have been snuffed out or shattered by similar attacks. 7 dead here, 6 there. Numbers stacking up like grim statistics no one wants to hear but everyone must face. And so it continues. This relentless march toward oblivion dressed up as geopolitics while real people pay the price in blood and tears.
At the Girl Scouts, our beloved purveyors of cookies and life lessons, like how to sell sugary treats at a markup that would make Wall Street blush. This year, they're introducing a new cookie called Explormores, inspired by Rocky Road, because nothing says exploration like a journey through chocolate, marshmallow, and toasted almond-flavored cream. But let's talk about the real adventure here. The price hike, yes folks, those delicious little boxes have gone from $4 in 2014 to a whopping $6 or even $7 today. At this rate, they might as well come with a side of caviar and a glass of Dom Perignon. And while we're on the subject of inflationary snacks, can we address the fact that these cookies are seasonal? It's like McDonald's bringing back the McRib. You never know when you'll get your fix. But unlike fast food chains teasing us with limited time offers, this is more like an annual test of your willpower and wallet. Now let's not forget their membership dues jumping up by 160%. That's right, joining the Girl Scouts is now pricier than my monthly streaming subscriptions combined. And what do you get for it? The chance to learn invaluable skills like knot tying and selling overpriced baked goods door to door. Meanwhile, some chapters are making tough decisions about raising prices due to financial distress. Imagine being so broke you have to charge more for something that basically sells itself. It's like Starbucks saying they need to raise prices because people love coffee too much. And yet all proceeds stay local, which is great, because who wouldn't want their hard-earned dollars going towards empowering young girls in their community instead of, I don't know, buying groceries? So there you have it, a first world problem wrapped in cellophane and sold by adorable kids in sashes. When you buy that next box of Explormores, remember, you're not just indulging in cookies, you're participating in an economic experiment worthy of its own merit badge.
Ah, the winds of change are finally blowing through the hallowed halls of aviation bureaucracy. In a move that's only several decades overdue, our esteemed lawmakers have decided to tackle what they call antiquated mental health rules for pilots. Because nothing screams progress like acknowledging that maybe, just maybe, forcing pilots to choose between their sanity and their salary isn't the best way to ensure safety in the skies. The Mental Health in Aviation Act of 2025 is here to save us all from this archaic system. A system where mentioning you're feeling a bit down could ground your career faster than you can say emergency landing. But fear not, because soon pilots might actually be able to seek therapy without risking their livelihoods. What a novel concept! This legislation promises sweeping reforms that will allow pilots to admit they're human without immediate professional repercussions. Finally, they might no longer need to rely on self-medication or hope against hope that unresolved issues won't manifest at 35,000 feet. After all, who needs well-rested and mentally sound individuals flying metal tubes full of people across the globe? And let's not forget about Joseph Emerson, the off-duty pilot whose desperate act brought this issue crashing into public consciousness. A man driven by sleeplessness and despair, with a side order of psychedelic experimentation. His story serves as a grim reminder that ignoring mental health doesn't make it disappear. It just makes it someone else's problem until it becomes everyone's problem. The bill now heads to the Senate, where one can only assume it will be met with open arms and swift passage, because addressing mental health is always such a priority in legislative circles. Who knows, maybe in another few decades, we'll even see similar empathy extended toward other professions too. Until then, let us celebrate this massive step forward, while keeping our fingers crossed that these changes come before any more tragedies remind us why they were necessary in the first place. In conclusion, cheers to progress, where acknowledging basic human needs is considered groundbreaking reform.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the big questions while trying not to spill our existential dread all over the carpet. Today, we're inspired by a fascinating article from CNN titled "Brain Map Shows Decision Making." Yes, folks, scientists have mapped out how decisions are made in mice brains. Because when it comes to understanding the mysteries of life, who better to study than creatures that spend most of their time deciding between cheese and more cheese? This groundbreaking research involved neuroscientists from 22 labs around the world creating a neural map showing brain activity during decision making. They tracked over 600,000 neurons across 279 areas of a mouse's brain. That's about 95% of their tiny little minds. Quite impressive for an animal whose biggest dilemma is which corner of the cage to pee in. But let's pause for a moment and consider, what does this mean for us? If mice need nearly their entire brain just to decide left or right on a screen for sugar water, what does that say about humans? Are we really any different as we agonize over whether to swipe left or right on dating apps or choose between two equally overpriced lattes? The researchers used neuropixels probes, tiny digital devices capable of recording thousands of neurons at once, to capture these decisions. Imagine if someone was monitoring your every thought with such precision. Would they find profound reflections on existence? Or just endless loops debating whether you should watch another episode before bed? Interestingly, this study also reveals that prior knowledge plays a crucial role in decision making. In other words, even mice rely on past experiences to make choices. So much for living in the moment. Turns out rodents are just as haunted by their pest as we are. It's ironic how we've created complex technology to understand something so fundamental yet utterly absurd, our own indecisiveness. And while this research might help scientists conduct targeted studies on complex behavior, it also serves as a humbling reminder that despite our advanced brains and sophisticated societies, we're still fundamentally driven by simple rewards, a bit like those sugar-happy mice. In conclusion, perhaps the real takeaway here is that life is one giant experiment where we're all just trying not to get electrocuted by bad choices, or at least hoping for some metaphorical sugar water at the end of it all. Join us next time as we continue our quest for meaning in a universe indifferent to our plight, or maybe we'll just talk about cats instead. Who knows? Decisions are hard.
In the fevered dreams of capitalism, where profit eclipses reason and humanity teeters on the brink of ecological collapse, we find ourselves conjuring up fantastical solutions to problems of our own making. The latest symptom of this delusion, giant underwater sea curtains and other harebrained schemes to save our melting ice sheets. These proposals are nothing short of modern-day alchemy, a desperate attempt to transmute the leaden reality of climate change into a golden opportunity for profit. Geoengineering has become the siren call for those who refuse to face the inconvenient truth that our planet is burning under the relentless pursuit of economic growth. Investors are lining up, eager to pour billions into untested technologies that promise salvation while ignoring the potential for disaster. The allure is undeniable. A quick fix that allows us to continue pillaging Earth's resources unchecked, all under the guise of innovation. Yet each proposal is more absurd than the last. pumping seawater onto ice, scattering glass beads across oceans, anchoring colossal curtains in marine habitats, all in a futile bid to outsmart nature. These interventions threaten catastrophic environmental damage, disrupting ecosystems, and altering global climate patterns with reckless abandon. They are not solutions. They are distractions designed to obscure the real issue, our insatiable appetite for consumption. The staggering cost, tens of billions per project, is no deterrent in this capitalist nightmare. After all, what's $80 billion when there's a planet-sized market at stake? But even if these projects could be executed without destroying what remains of our fragile ecosystems, they would still fall woefully short of addressing the urgency required by climate change. Instead of reducing emissions and curbing our destructive habits, we entertain fantasies that technology will save us from ourselves. This refusal to confront reality is symptomatic of a society so entrenched in its own greed that it cannot see beyond immediate gains. As scientists warn against these misguided ventures, voices within academia still argue for continued research into geoengineering, an echo chamber perpetuating false hope while Rome burns. Their insistence on debate over action only serves as another testament to humanity's inability to prioritize survival over profit. In this capitalist fever dream, we chase mirages at great cost, both financially and ecologically, ignoring that true salvation lies not in technological miracles, but in fundamentally changing how we live on this planet. Until then, we remain trapped in an endless cycle of destruction masked as progress, a fitting epitaph for a civilization blinded by its own hubris.